This unnamed woman, marginalized, 6 times victimized by maybe a deadbeat or overbearing husband, becomes Jesus' first true evangelist. Sure, the other disciples might have shared news about Jesus with a few close friends or family members, but this unheralded, unnamed woman wins a whole city over to the person of Christ. So I was thinking this week that maybe there's hope for us. If this poor, disenfranchised woman at the well can be an evangelist, surely you and I could come up with some kind of evangelistic energy, so to speak. Think about it. How often do you self-describe as an evangelist? Think about this past week, you, First Baptist Church, congregant, Christian, moving in the world. How many times did you think, I'm an evangelist, by golly? Let's have a show of hands. How many of us would say that we're evangelists? Some half hands there, okay, yeah, okay. So 5 out of 180. I think we leave evangelism to the famous people, right? If you were a Christian 15 or 20 years ago, it was Billy Graham, you know, filling the stadiums. And it's like, well, Billy's doing a great job. He's filling stadiums, so what's there left for me? Or when we lived in California, it was Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade. He would fill up Anaheim Stadium with thousands of people, share the good news, invite them forward. We're prone to be what I think we might call armchair evangelists. And so on Super Bowl Sunday, you kind of get that image, right? We watch the experts and the professionals run around on the field or in the stadium, and we have our bowl of chips and our dip, and we go, yes, 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 thank you, Jesus. Or we commentate on whether they're doing it right or wrongly. So I want us to hang with today's story. Enter in and put yourself alongside this unnamed low-level evangelist. So we're not going to put ourselves beside Christian superstars, but we will enter in with this woman, this Samaritan woman. I'm going to borrow 3 words to help us move through this story and also think about what it might be for us to be evangelists for such a time as this. And I'm borrowing these words from a Lutheran preaching professor named David Loos. And we as church council were reflecting on these words several days ago. Notice, share, and invite. Notice, share, and invite. If you like acronyms, NSI. And David Loos basically says, maybe rather than talk about evangelism and evangelizing other people, which has lots of connotations and different meanings in the 21st century in North America, maybe we reframe the way we look at evangelism by simply saying maybe it's about developing this practice of noticing and sharing and inviting. Maybe that's what it means for us to be evangelists. And we might all be able to leave this place today feeling like we're sent to be evangelists alongside this unspectacular woman at the well. So I invited you right at the beginning of the reading to imagine or allow an image or a word or a phrase to stick with you. What did you notice in today's story? What piqued your attention? I want you to try and keep that picture or that word, that phrase in your mind. What did you notice? What captured your attention? What tripped you up? Because if we notice what's going on in the God story and the gospel stories, it might help us, since this is a living word, notice how God might be on the move. In the world, in the story of our lives, from this living story, we might better notice or see God at work. So hold that image. The second word is share. And once you notice God is at work, then it seems that the work of an evangelist is then to share that work. In today's story, this unnamed woman has this staggering encounter with Jesus. She literally drops everything. We read that she leaves the jar behind and runs back to the city. And so I want you to ask yourself or ponder just for a few seconds, when was the last time you were so blown away by something that actually redirected the course of your life or your direction that day? You were about to do something and you had this happen and it changed the course of your life. That happens to us. For those of us who have more or less ADD issues, it happens lots, right? I'm kind of one of those people. I walk from upstairs to downstairs to go get a can of soup or something, and I do 7 things in between time, and then I get to the basement. I'm like, what was I supposed to do? But let's make this more Jesus-centric. When was the last time you had this encounter with Jesus that changed the course of your day or changed the trajectory of your life? Now, I'm not expecting us to have these jar-dropping experiences every day of every minute, but that's part of the noticing and the pay attention piece of following God or looking for God or seeing where God might be at work. We notice it, and then we're compelled or we're called or we're urged to share that. And I'm not going to make you share that part of the God story that caught your attention today. But I do want to urge you to share something with someone near you today. So we're just going to take 45 seconds, and I know this drives all the introverts crazy, but I'm going to make it really simple. I want you to turn to someone. If you feel like you can do this, do it. If you don't, just think the answer in your head. But just turn to someone and share with them how many days, months, or years you've been coming to First Baptist Church. Just really easy. Just think, how long have I been coming to First Baptist Church? And then if you feel really bold and courageous and vulnerable, then share one reason why you come or why you've kept coming back for all these days, months, or years. So just if you want to keep it simple, just say, I've been coming here for 2 months. That's all I'm sharing with you. If you want to go the next step, you can say, I've been coming here for 2 months, and one of the things that seems to draw me back is fill in the blank. We're just going to take 1 minute to do that. So you're welcome to do that, or you're welcome to just sit and be still for 1 minute. Okay, everyone, you've had your minute to share. Did anyone hear something that was really, that they feel like they have permission to share? That they'd like to share? Yes. Community, okay. Okay. Anyone bold enough to just kind of yell it out? Greet has been here for 58 years. Wow. And Doreen's been here since she was in the womb, so pretty close. Greta, a living legend amongst us. One more. Is there one more point of sharing that someone just wants to share out loud? A young man will come to church if a woman is inviting him. That's a common story. Okay, well, there you go. Good revelation. Anne was saying that she's been at First Baptist Church for 25 years and that she can't imagine being anywhere else. Amen. Preach it. Notice, share, the third word is invite. We've actually heard this a few times in the Gospel of John. Right in the beginning of John, some interested disciples are following Jesus, and they say, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, three words, "Come and see." And then when Nathanael says that crazy thing about Jesus, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip says to him, "Come and see." And that sets up today's story, where the unnamed woman preaches the shortest and yet most effective sermon in all of the Gospels. 17 words. And she starts with, "Come and see. A man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" It's an invite. She's not just inviting her closest friends and her family members. She's run back to the city. And she's invited the whole city of Sychar. We don't necessarily know how big the city is, but it's at least 2,000 to 5,000 people. And that's why she's the first evangelist in the Gospel of John. Can you imagine? It's almost comical for this woman in this context who's had 5 or 6 husbands. Can you just see it? And she runs back to the city, and there's probably a big rumor mill about this woman, and she says, "Come and see a man." Can you just see all the eye rolls of, "Oh yeah, you've already had 5 or 6. "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" It's such a great message. It's an enthusiastic message. It's an honest message. There's even this element of doubt in it, right? She's not even totally sure. She's saying, "This cannot be the Messiah, can he? But come and see a man who told me everything about my life." So as we wrestle with this word invite, I'm going to invite you to do something that I invited counsel to do several days ago. We're just going to pause for 15 seconds and allow the Spirit to bring the face or the name of one person before us. And maybe if you're feeling like the woman this morning, you could ask for 2,000 faces or 3,000, but I'm just going to ask you for one face or one name of someone that God might be on the move with and setting you up to invite that person to faith, invite that person to church, so that they can get in on the same things that you're getting in on here week after week after week, worshiping a living God together in community, the people of God, hearing good news week after week, singing, praying, learning how to put our faith into practice. 15 seconds to allow the Spirit to begin a work. Now, don't hear me as saying, I want you to set up some pressure conversation where you're going to coerce this person to be a Christian, because being a Christian is what I need you to do. Verse 38 in today's story is a great one, where Jesus says, "Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." And the theologian Frederick Bruner, when he talks about others, he says that the others is the community of God. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit at work. They're doing this work of making all things new, of going into the world. And like right from the beginning of Genesis, we heard and have read God hovering over the waters, the chaos, and bringing light and life. And so it's the same for us. We believe that God's on the move. We believe that others have labored, that the community of God is on the move, and we get to enter into their labor. Notice, share, and invite. We're not trying to raise the bar high and saying you need to all become professional expert evangelists doing crusades or rallies at local churches or stadiums. But it seems from today's story we can enter in alongside this unnamed, unspectacular woman, walk alongside, maybe run alongside her, notice, share good news as we find it being revealed to us, and inviting others into this good news story that we get to enjoy day after day, week after week. We read that springs and fountains of gushing water will be stirred up in us. And maybe you come to church today and you don't feel like a gusher, and that's perfectly reasonable. Don't feel bad about that. Come and see. It's a great day to come to the table of the Lord. Because we don't attempt to gush in our own strength. We come to this place, this table, where we eat and drink of the living Christ. And we become filled yet again to be those bearers of good news, of God news, into those places where God sends us. I like how the Anglican prayer book phrases words around the table. Feed on Christ in your hearts. Drink of the cup of your salvation. And so even today as we come to the table, maybe those words or phrases might impact you. Feeding on Christ in our hearts. Drinking of the cup of salvation. And then being sent as a people into those places where God sends us this week. And I was thinking, what would it be like for us to paraphrase that communal verse that we said in verse 42? Maybe it's like, it's no longer because of what others have said that I believe. For I have heard it, and maybe even today I've tasted it, I've sensed it, I've experienced the living Christ. And I know that Jesus is truly the Savior of the world. I want to give you just another half minute of silence to notice, to prepare, to share, to pray for that person that is being brought up in your heart or your imagination. And then you have this Celtic daily prayer. After the silence, I'll pray this prayer and you can enjoy it in the week to come as well. Let's pray together. Oh God, I cannot undo the past or make it never have happened. Neither can you. There are some things that are not possible even for you, but not many. I ask you humbly from the bottom of my heart, please God, would you write straight with my crooked lines? Out of the serious mistakes of my life, will you make something beautiful for you? Teach me to live at peace with you, to make peace with others and even with myself. Give me fresh vision. Let me experience your love so deeply that I am free to face the future with a steady eye, forgiven and strong in hope.